which is the Lands 2020 briefing.
Yep. I'll stay here for that. We've got Lori Vigue here joining us for this. Oh. Are you ready? Okay. Well, good morning again. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair and Commission, for being here to listen to our Lands 2020 overview and the proposed acquisition grant submittals for 2015. And hopefully this should follow well from the last conversation in terms of this is a piece of the puzzle, a piece of our overall efforts towards our mission and strategic plan. So this presentation, we're going to go through just a brief highlighting of the mission and strategic plan and conservation tools available to the department, and discuss land acquisition priorities and the steps in our acquisition process and acquisition funding sources before then going into the 2015 project proposals, a summary of the public comment that we've received recently, and the next steps. So we all know, we are here to preserve, protect, and perpetuate fish, wildlife, and ecosystems while providing sustainable and wildlife, recreational, commercial, and commercial opportunities. This involves conserving and protecting native fish and wildlife, providing sustainable fishing, hunting, and other wildlife-related recreational commercial experiences, promoting a healthy economy, protecting community character, maintaining an overall high quality of life, and delivering high-quality customer service, building an effective and efficient organization and supporting our workforce, improving business processes, and investing in technology. And the work that we do in land acquisition is part of getting us there. The available tools that we have to fulfill this mission and the strategic plan that we've set forth for ourselves vary widely, from the regulatory tools available through permitting, through the work that we have for managing species directly, through species augmentations, examples related to land use planning assistance, both at the local, state, and federal levels for a variety of land ownerships, our work with private lands and the partnerships there, which we spoke of recently as well. And additionally, one of the conservation tools is real property management and transactions associated with land acquisitions. Department of Fish and Wildlife manages about 1 million acres of land through our wildlife areas. Those lands are open 365 days a year, and we get 4 million visitors per year. Additionally, we have the order of 700 boat launches and water access sites. So this is, you know, where our public directly interfaces with our places and the wildlife that they value in those places. With that, we have specific acquisition principles guiding where we do look for and pursue purchase of more lands. And those are have been developed and illustrated through our conservation initiative and include optimizing, pursuing, and using partnerships. So we may or may not be in need of acquiring lands, but if the question comes up, we'll talk with our partners and have a good sense of when it's appropriate and necessary. We evaluate whether the acquisition is the best conservation alternative. For instance, are there private lands tools that could support the conservation needs of those lands without need to purchase? We pursue lands that provide long-term opportunities and that provide long-term ecological value. And we place a higher value on acquisitions that create blocks of ownership so that efficiencies of scale and management are included. We pursue easements and other non-fee title options in smaller tracts where that may be necessary. And we prioritize lands that are ecologically or socially important, as we just spoke to. Importantly, it's very critical that we only pursue acquisition in the case of willing sellers. With that, we have a suite of acquisition priorities, including habitat, aquatic habitats and critical habitat for specific species. Get to look at all the pretty pictures here, both game and non-game. Terrestrial habitats, we have identified call-out focus on Eastside Mature Pine Forest or Oak Pine Associations, Oregon White Oak Woodlands, Shrub Steppe, Herbaceous Balds and Westside Prairies, and Channeled Scablands. And then, again, the conversation we just had about statewide priority landscapes is part of the conversation about where would we be prioritizing land acquisition needs. We have a series of steps for our acquisition process, which starts off with the scoping and the need and identifying parcels of areas of interest where there are opportunities. And the important thing that we all understand about acquisition is that it's opportunistic to an extent. We can put as much of a strategic filter and direction on it, but it only becomes available to us as an option if someone is interested in a conversation about potentially selling a piece of land. So when that happens, we will evaluate the proposal against the acquisition criteria that we have. We'll determine if acquisition is the best tool and identify where there might be an appropriate funding source. We estimate the ongoing cost of operation and maintenance as part of our decision analysis at this stage. We conduct that local government and stakeholder public outreach that was discussed a bit here. And then at the regional level, make a decision about whether to pursue forward and then get to from the regional, kind of the ground up piece of it, to a review of a cross program technical review team happens here. And the results of that are then presented to our executive management team for prioritization. And again, the conversation about where appropriate funding sources are. Then projects and proposals, the proposed funding sources go to the director on an annual basis in usually the November timeframe. Then we have a public outreach posting, public comment period in usually December, January timeframe. And then we come to you, which we're doing today, to consult on prioritizing prior to pursuing grant applications. It's important to recognize that that the piece that we're talking about today, that Lori's going to talk to you about, the two proposals are in that stage. There's been initial scoping and need conversation, evaluation, and prioritization. We're coming to you with our proposals. There are also other proposals that have come to you before and that are in the process of being acquired. They have not been acquired, so they are still in process. They're still active in the public eye. And so that's why you're only going to see two proposals today, although there are more proposals in the works. So hopefully the different steps and the timing at which they happen sometimes can be a little bit confusing. And so then there is the stage of which acquisition implementation occurs that is then moving into the grant application and the pursuit of funding, and our real estate division works with regions to pursue the real estate acquisition procedure with the landowners themselves, involving partners where necessary and appropriate. Once the land is acquired, then we work to integrate it into the ownership in terms of management planning and activities and getting staff oriented and directed in those places. So we have a variety of funding sources. The two top funding sources for our Lands 2020 acquisitions are the Washington State Recreation and Conservation Office that has a suite of funding programs, including Aquatic Lands Enhancement Account, the Washington Wildlife Recreation Program, which funds the urban wildlife and critical habitat, as well as there's access pieces in there as well. And then the Salmon Recovery Funding Board is a pretty large player on this funding landscape. The Fish and Wildlife Service is also a source of funds through their Cooperative Endangered Species Conservation Fund, Section 6. They have funding for land acquisition, for recovery efforts, and also efforts associated with habitat conservation plans. And we have the National Coastal Wetland Conservation Act and the North American Wetland Conservation Act. We also have access through funds for acquisition through Pittman-Robertson, Dingell-Johnson, the Land and Water Conservation Fund, and then there are a variety of mitigation funding sources through the Army Corps of Engineers or Bonneville Power Association or local PUDs, that public utility districts, that are sources of funding for these priority acquisitions. And again, you know, we just had a lengthy conversation with regards to priority landscapes and identifying common shared values, protection of water, outdoor recreation, open space, working lands, rural economy. These are all of the reasons and rationales and needs associated with this effort. And we've got a variety of partners that are at the table with us as we go through our land acquisition work. And I think with that, we are going to move into the two proposals that are in the process where we're coming to you today to talk with you about them and give you an overview and a sense of what they are and what we've heard from the public about them, and then move forward from there. So I will now hand it over to Lori Vigue.
Thank you, Cynthia. Does this work? Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, just like Cynthia said, we have two projects that are on your agenda to review today. These two projects went through internal review in 2014 through our approval process. And next year at this time, you will be reviewing a larger suite of projects that will be going for WWRP funding. So this year is kind of our lull. It's kind of a little bit more simplified. One we have in Whatcom County, and the other one is in Whitman County. Okay, the first one is in Region 1, Revere Addition. This is located just south of St. John. It is actually nestled between BLM lands in our Revere Wildlife Area in Whitman County. It is 94 acres. And there's a small photo of it right here. It's actually, what's unique about this proposal is Pheasants Forever is acquiring funding to acquire it, and once they acquire it, they will donate the land to our agency, so it will end up being an expansion of the Revere Wildlife Area. And it has excellent connectivity corridor for mule deer. It also has channel scablands, Palouse Prairie grasslands, and shrub steppe habitat. And it has a wide variety of supporters, including Pheasants Forever, Mule Deer Foundation, Inland Northwest Wildlife Council, and the Spokane Bird Dog Association. And also what's really special about this property is the Pheasants Forever is proposing to fund habitat restoration for 10 years on this project once we acquire it. And the second project in Whatcom County, it's near Ferndale. It's called the Lower Nooksack River Project. And there's a couple maps, a larger scale, and then the smaller scale map. And this is actually an expansion of the current geographic envelope. It's part of a larger Puget Sound Nearshore Restoration Project, PISNRP. And it's where they're doing it's a multi-partner floodplain restoration project where they're putting dike setbacks, protect steelhead, bull trout, and Chinook in that area. And it's a 1,200-acre conservation and restoration project. And this particular proposal does not require conversion of ag land. It's a willing landowner, And I think it's something that's just outside the geographic envelope. That's why you're seeing it again. It was reviewed, I think, several years ago through Lens 2020. And just another note is it's actually, the proposal is 4.5 acres. It's, I think on the current slide it said 10 acres because they were looking at the entire envelope being expanded. But the property itself is 4.5 acres. Okay. And to sum up our comments, we had 3 weeks of public comment in January where the public had opportunity to make comments on these two proposals. We received 14 comments. We had 10 in support, 4 opposed. And let's see. And then in general, the support letters, this is kind of the breakdown of the support letters out of the 14. We received 14 or 5 support for the Revere Edition, 1 for Lower Nooksack, and then in general, folks that support land acquisition in general for the agency was expressed by 5 individuals. And then the next steps, do you want me to go through that or do you want to go through that?
I can do that.
Okay.
So we are in the process of responding to public comments as needed. And then in March, we will be presenting these through the Recreation and Conservation Office's annual Lands Forum, where all the different state agencies get together and present in that forum, which is open to the public, about what is on their radar screen moving forward. And then we will finalize the process for acquisition, which may take always takes an adjustable amount of time, and director approval is required. And you always see the actual real estate transactions come back to you when we're at that final stage. So I think that is what we have for you for today. Any questions?
Any questions?
Go ahead.
Oh, Commissioner Keeney.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Just timing is that I have a question on the timing. And so I know in years past we've received a list of 2020 projects that were a mile long. And then we reviewed those, and at some point they came to us for approval, usually in ones and twos or threes. And you suggested that. So is this the two projects that will come to us in 2015, but you said there'll be more. Are they being forwarded from 2014? And then will they all have come through the 2020 process?
So when a project comes through Lands 2020 and it comes through and all the different steps it makes it and it becomes approved to then pursue funding for a purchase or for an easement, then that goes into the real estate transaction piece. And that may take, I don't know, 6 months is probably the earliest, the quickest it could happen. It may take years and years. We cannot predict how many or when you will be seeing that final step of actually acquiring things that in the past you have said, yes, we're good with you moving forward. And so these are just the two that we're at the stage of we're looking for, yes, we're good to move forward and pursue funding to make these things happen.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for great presentation. We look forward to the 2020 presentation just about every year. I guess I have to say, like Commissioner Schmitten in this seat used to say, we need to channel former Commissioner Perry, Chuck Perry, who was a range ecologist by background and probably more knowledgeable about Eastern Washington habitat than anybody I've ever met. He would always pose the question, what about maintenance and operational costs, and how do we integrate the thinking early on as much as possible about the costs of ownership so that we can assure that we will be good stewards, mm-hmm. which will in the long run put us in good standing with those who need to make decisions and also with the communities that surround our acquisitions. So have any thoughts about how we're going to approach M&O costs?
Well, I mean, absolutely. There's a commitment to these places. We need to be able to say if we're going to take them on that we have a good certainty that we'll be able to take care of them and steward them. Early on in the process and the steps that I went through, we do consciously have that conversation about what the O&M costs are. We predict what they are going to be, and then we have a conversation about the department's ability to carry that commitment. And that's a piece of the puzzle. That's also a piece of the conversation when you're talking to a variety of partners about who's best positioned, right? Or, you know, looking at the size of the parcel, looking at the potential adjacency or isolation of the parcel from existing land. So, yeah. So I was just reminded, this is my first time going through and being in front of you for Lands 2020, and we are giving you a briefing today about these projects. We're not asking you for a decision, but if you identify any issues with the projects, then we need to be notified of those and adjust accordingly.
Okay. Any other questions? Deputy Director Stewart.
Mr. Vice Chair, I this morning took a look at a recent PowerPoint that the Lands Division put together that describes the history around maintenance and operational costs on our lands. It was really informative and well done, and I'd like to see if we can't share that. It isn't specific to these two pieces of property, but Commissioner Perry would have loved it. Maybe we can send him a copy, too.
Along that vein, I remember, Deputy Director Storr, that we have submitted requests specifically for O&M, M&O, whichever you want to say, to the legislature, and in the past have been successful in identifying some money for it. And I've been involved with acquisition projects in my county for a very long time, and there's been just long-term recognition that that's a part of the acquisition game that we struggle with. We just have never, it's always more satisfying to buy more than to be good stewards of the land that we own. But in some of the rural communities that have large ownership, public ownership, this is one of the flashpoints.
Absolutely.
Because they just don't feel like public lands are as well maintained. So, important.
Commissioner Wecker, yeah, that is a challenge for us. I want you to take a close look, if you would, at this PowerPoint, because I think it dispels some of that and you know, lays out a pretty clear story of enhanced attention to maintenance and operational costs. And has a lot of before and after shots in there that if, you know, you get these kind of questions, you can use as examples where, well, at least in this case, you know, the state was stepping up and funding these kinds of activities. So,
thanks. Mr. Vice Chair, Deputy Director Storr, could I just clarify, is that a request to have that PowerPoint shared electronically with the commission outside of the meeting or for a presentation at a commission meeting?
I was thinking outside of the meeting, if that's okay with the commission.
That'd be fine.
Thank you.
Very good report. Thank you so much.